What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great lineup for you today. Can't wait to get into it. We, in the 12 o'clock hour, will visit with Michael Heck. Yes, I know it's Tuesday and not Wednesday, but we have different schedules. Everyone's doing special events this week relative to the 20th anniversary of Katrina. So Michael will join us at noon today. And his special guest will be Deanna Rodriguez, the CEO of Entergy. And we'll talk about after Katrina, the rebuild of the grid for Entergy in Louisiana, Mississippi, New Orleans. We'll talk about how that was ultimately partially funded and where they are today and where they hope to be in the coming years. At 11:30, we'll visit with Glade Bilby. Glade has been on the show many times. He's the president of the French Quarter Citizens and co-chair of Save Our Soul Coalition, Armstrong Park Community Group. Yes, folks, after 20 years, the city will break ground tomorrow morning on renovations to the municipal auditorium. And we'll talk to Glade Bilby about that. Daphne Barnes joins us, executive director of the Economic Mobility for our GNO, for our NOLA Coalition segment, excuse me. We talk about these difference makers, and we'll talk about NOLA Connect series. Daphne was a school teacher in New Orleans after Katrina, and she'll discuss the changes in schools and the impact that they've had. Arnie Filko, former executive vice president of administration for the Saints, former New Orleans city councilman, and former CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater New Orleans. He's got a lot of things to talk about relative to his experiences during Katrina and the aftermath from 20 years ago. Folks, there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about first this morning on our monologue. And, you know, we continue to have a lot of news out there, and we will continue to celebrate this 20th anniversary of Katrina, and we look forward to Friday. We'll be broadcasting live from the Presbyter. Tommy Tucker, myself, Scoot, and we'll have a number of individuals that participate in the rebuild, the rebirth. We'll talk about some of the do's and the don'ts, lessons learned, how we got from point A to point B, and alike. I have a little bit of a different spin on a number of things as opposed to what I have been hearing out there, which is a little different. You know, I mean, I think we've allowed the marketing of this and the national media to dictate how this story should be told. And I said it yesterday and I'll say it again today. I think they have woefully missed the target on so many different fronts. And the reason I'm pretty confident of this is when I talk to people from out of town who have seen some of these stories, what they draw from that is so far from what reality is, it's absolutely crazy. We were talking with one of our guests the other day who was in Canada, and this particular Canadian thought that New Orleans was still not really back 20 years later. So where did this go wrong? This may be a lesson that maybe we should look at. Maybe we should think about. Maybe we should, you know, consider what's actually happening. And a lot of it, I think, stems right back to the very beginning of Katrina and the breakdown as it relates to our relationship with FEMA. So there's FEMA, some staff members the other day write a letter warning of a Katrina-like disaster response under the Trump administration. Obviously, they're very nervous because the Trump administration has put out overtures about getting rid of FEMA or re-engineering FEMA to the extent that it will not look anything as to what it looks like today. And interestingly, a lot of people are really not sure of what it actually looks like. It's a part-time organization. You've heard me say this over and over again. They reach out to agencies across the country to put together their response teams. There's very few full-time employees there that work at this. And I'm not saying that this is the wrong approach. It's just simply there has to be a more collaborative effort between the federal government and state and local government. You will hear throughout the rest of this week my mantra in the aftermath of Katrina and what we've set out to take advantage of lessons learned as we looked at ourselves critical in the aftermath of Katrina. The mantra is if you don't control it, it ain't going to happen. So in the first 7 to 10 days post-event, if you don't have control of it, it's a crapshoot at best as to whether or not you're going to get the assets and resources necessary to do the job. And that's not a criticism of anybody, quite frankly, because a lot of times these storms, they shift, they do this, they do that, they increase in intensity, they decrease in intensity. Some spin off more tornadoes than others. There's a high level of uncertainty as to how the impact is actually going to present itself once it reaches landfall. And because of that, it creates all kinds of challenges of people coming from the outside trying to come here, as opposed to those first responders that are here that are actually evacuating within the parish as opposed to outside the parish. That may not make much sense, but you move your personnel into multiple locations across the parish. You provide 7 to 10 days of supply there. You have boats there. You have a lot of assets and resources available to you there so that you're not all in one building. So in case a tornado hits, your whole organization or command staff is not wiped out, right? So you take these precautions. Those are the individuals that got to make everything happen first. Because meanwhile, back at the ranch, FEMA's still trying to figure out how to get into the area. And that's just going to be a challenge, no matter what. Because they're not going to, although they do some, but they're not going to locate in advance of a storm in a particular area. They don't do it. And most of the not-for-profit agencies that also backfill, American Red Cross is a good example, they don't do it either because they want to protect their employees. They don't have hardened facilities that they can, you know, come close to where the storm is going to be so that they can immediately respond. And all of this creates delays in the manner of the response. The one impediment that's sitting out there for state and local government to really take control of this situation is simply funding and financing. You have some small departments that are able to put forth assets and resources, and if you start exponentially having more and more numbers who are willing to participate, and there's a certainty that they can be reimbursed for the salaries that they're paying while those individuals are assisting in a storm and they're having to pay overtime or otherwise to cover those folks that are doing it, and they can get that funding in a very short period of time, There is no doubt in anyone's mind that state and locals can handle this situation because we know the topography, we know the waters, we know the roadways, we know the challenges. We can reach out to all of the business owners. We know the utility providers. We are the ones that have the connections, not FEMA. FEMA has the checkbook. And the sooner that they can reimburse these departments for these expenditures, the more likely they are and willing to stand up because they will go broke. And the delays in getting reimbursed from FEMA are onerous. They make it almost impossible to give what they would love to do in a full-fledged support mode in helping in the recovery of disasters. And we could give example after example after example where, you know, local governments have had to go and borrow money in order to cover their payroll because they've done this. It was the right thing to do. It's hard to be critical of any of this. But this is the reason that there's a level of hesitancy in getting involved. And if we could streamline this process where what we do is they bring in financial teams, right, in order to process this in a much quicker fashion, there would be a much more proactive feeling about training all of our individuals in rapid water rescues, whatever it may be, provide the have the equipment necessary and everything else that we can deploy. We actually have this response upside down. Upside down. Not unlike a lot of what's going on around the country. I recall back in Katrina talking to a firefighter from the East Coast who actually was a firefighter in Los Angeles, California. He was also a firefighter in the Baltimore, Maryland area. And he also responded as a FEMA first responder in urban search and rescue. And he was able to align these schedules, and he would fly from one coast to the other to do his time at LA, his time in the Baltimore area. And then they both would allow him to take off because he was part of the FEMA USAR team. And it's not unusual to see these relationships like this where you have the same people that are floating back and forth across this country, and these are the individuals that they call upon. Well, think of the logistical issues in trying to assemble these teams. It's not a criticism. It's the best that they can do, but it's not the best that we can do nor provide. And if they just put these financial teams together, we have the assets and the resources in the short term. It's in the duration of the recovery where we may need to call upon them for some additional assistance. But that first response, we are better positioned to deal with it than they will ever be. So when I see letters from members of FEMA who are trying to save this position, trying to save these relationships where they get two and three paychecks from multiple organizations because FEMA is a part-time agency, they get called up and all of a sudden they're making huge money, I'm not in favor of that. That is a bad combination. And it doesn't work to the best interests of our community at all. So the reason I bring this up today is that don't believe everything that you hear. Now, is imploding FEMA the right way? I don't think so. But I do believe that there should be deliberations about how to best align FEMA with state and local government. There is a role for FEMA as the federal representative. And I think if we would let cooler heads prevail, we would be a lot more successful in the byproduct of these deliberations. We can make it work where it makes sense. Because each and every organization, whether it's the chiefs, the sheriffs, state police. We all have task forces. We all work with one another. EMS, fire. We all work with one another in these task forces. We would have to formalize these relationships in a more robust way, obviously. But it's really in our best interest to do so. This is our home. No one else has the emotional attachment that we have to here. No one else is really going to care as much as we're going to care. Again, it's not a criticism, it's human nature. No one else is going to go the extra 10, 20%. It's not going to happen. Because this is our team. This is our home. These are our people. We know the needs. We understand the psyche. We understand the culture. We understand the topography. And obviously, we know all about the demographics. So I just wanted to talk about that for a moment. This is a story that broke on Verite News. I was reading it last evening, and I said, you know, I need to talk about this because a lot of people will be moved by this situation. I tell you, I read something last night, or it was early this morning. I can't even remember. I think it was last evening. We want to talk about what's going on with education, and we will be here shortly at 11 o'clock. Teachers' unions poured over $40 million into left-wing groups since 2022. The American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association have doled out $43,524,123 to liberal and far-left organizations. For what reason? Does this work in the best interests of our kids? I suspect not. Groups that are advocating for, obviously, equity, abortion, and other issues, these groups, these unions, have become more political activists than anything else. Talking about what these social aspirations may be, as opposed to focusing on reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? And pick a state, any state, and you're going to find a large percentage of students that are not scoring. Not scoring at all, right? This should just really make you angry that we would allow these unions to do what they're doing, to involve themselves in these issues. For what purpose? It has nothing to do with classroom conduct, classroom behavior, appropriate testing of kids coming in to class so that you know what challenges these children may have, so you can try and figure out a better way, right? And I think part of the reason they're doing this all goes and stems back, and there was an interesting article about this, back to the Janus decision of the Supreme Court in 2018 that allows public sector employees to decline union membership. So they don't have that guaranteed revenue flow now, so they got to go be all things to all other people to try and generate donations to their cause, and they end up giving it back in the way of millions upon millions, $43 million in less than a three-year period of time to all these groups. Think twice about involving yourself with these groups. They're not improving anything for your kids. They're not improving the quality of teaching in our classrooms. They're not improving infrastructure in our classrooms, technology in our classrooms, course curriculum in our classrooms. They are so focused inside the Beltway politics, they can't see the forest for the trees. So be wary of what you're seeing relative to these groups. Finally, I don't know what's going on with Donald Trump. I don't profess to ever really know what's going on with Donald Trump. 30 days ago, 40 days ago, Chinese students were bad. All of a sudden, on August the 25th, Chinese students are good. He will allow 600,000 Chinese students entry for college. As it relates to our students, our kids trying to get into these high-performing colleges, this does not bode well. The universities across this country have got to get off the foreign student tit. They're able to charge them the full ride. They pay in cash. They love the financial arrangement to the detriment of you, U.S. citizens, whose taxes are being sent to these very universities, right, to help promote, fund, research, and otherwise. They take an administrative fee on average of about 60 cents on a dollar. 60 cents on a dollar. And President Trump and others think this is a good idea to let more foreign students in to the detriment of U.S. students. I don't think so. I think we need to call him out. I think we need to call him out. We cannot be using our kids pandering in some foreign policy dream that we have that we're going to ultimately get along with the Chinese and the Russians. They hate us. They're some of the most competitive people that ever walked the face of the earth. And they'll try to win at all cost. And they're beating us at our own game here each and every day, and we're allowing them in. How many months did we hear about Chinese students collecting intelligence for the People's Republic of China? Directly back. How many arrests have we made? And all of a sudden now, there's the divine Trump intervention, and this issue is prettier today than it was 45 days ago? I don't think so. I don't think it's ever going to get any prettier. It doesn't really matter what our relationship is with China. You think they're going to stop lying and they're going to stop cheating? I don't think so. We are kidding ourselves. We should push back on the Trump administration on this notion of allowing 600,000 Chinese students into the United States. And these universities have to get off this financial tit of foreign students. They are less than as a result of that. They're not staying here. They're not working to the benefit of this country. And it doesn't necessarily align with our national security issues. And I know it doesn't, because 45 days ago they said it didn't. And now today we're willing to make this compromise. Well, how did you get that to align so quickly? You might be able to BS a lot of other people. You're not going to BS me. We'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Back. Folks, you recall the most consequential weather event to ever hit this area, Hurricane Katrina. It impacted this city like no other in modern times, for sure. And I think that still holds true today. And there were so many people that were here and worked through this process and worked in the rebuild and the rebirth of this city. And our next guest, Arnie Filko, was one of them, former executive vice president of the administration for the Saints, former New Orleans City Councilman, and former CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater New Orleans. Arnie, you're a lot of formers. Welcome to the show.
That's what happens when you get older and kind of quasi-retire. Everybody puts former in front of it, which is appropriate.
Yes. So how you doing, my friend?
I am good, Newell. Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you for what you and WWL Radio are doing to, you know, both remember and, you know, pay tribute to some of the great leaders from 20 years ago that help lay the foundation for where we are today.
So, Arnie, you've been around a long time. Where were you during Katrina?
We actually, if you remember, many people will remember this, on Friday the 26th, we had a Saints preseason game at the Dome. It was really that night, you know, that the weather was turning westward a little bit, and you know, there were a lot of murmurs within the stadium, but we were planning on taking our oldest son to start college up north at the University of Wisconsin, and we evacuated Saturday and arrived in Madison, Wisconsin the next day, and like everyone else on that Monday morning the 29th, just watched in horror as we saw the city go underwater. And you know, we felt helpless. I mean, we were thousands of miles away. I mean, we were literally crying for hours in our hotel room, watching all of this and can't believing what we were witnessing. And, you know, from there, you know, I had a job to do. You know, we still had to figure out a way to get the NFL season played. And the word came down that we needed to try to communicate with staff and find everybody, which was not easy, and get them to San Antonio, Texas, as quickly as we could, so that we could set up, you know, temporary headquarters and try as best as possible to prepare, you know, for what obviously was a very difficult time for everyone.
The training facility here obviously was intact, had some damage, but not significant damage. So a lot of, I guess, the equipment and everything else was salvageable at that time, right?
Absolutely. Actually, I came back just a few days later to the New Orleans area, and one of the, you know, one of the roles that I had to play was to go over to the Metairie facility and see what it was. It was generally fine. It had been taken over by some of the military and some of the first responders, but you know, it was intact. And you know, that was in contrast to, I drove a little bit around the greater New Orleans area, and I mean, it was so depressing, Newell, just to see it. I mean, it was just, you know, a scene that you'll never forget. But, you know, it's incredible 20 years later to see where we are today and the progress we have made. You know, I think you know, and I know, T. Martin from Commander's Palace, and I urge everybody, read the op-ed in the paper today, because it just gives you hope and positivity about our community and the strength of the people of this community to have come all the way back. Now, it doesn't mean everything's resolved by any means, but, you know, most cities would never have come back the way New Orleans did, and it's a tribute to New Orleanians and our people through their courage and strength and determination that we are where we are today.
So fast forward through the recovery, if you would, remind the folks, you know, the contemplation, the consternation that the Saints as an organization went through trying to reestablish itself in that particular year. Their home field destroyed, the Superdome not playable.
Yes. I mean, it was, look, the 2005 NFL season is in many ways a footnote. I mean, given the bigger issues of a recovery of a city, you know, what happened on the field that season was secondary. You know, we had to, first of all, figure out where we were going to play home games. You know, I was a big advocate for bringing our games back to Louisiana. And thanks to great people at LSU, like Skip Bergman, who was the athletic director, you know, he opened his arms and said, Tiger Stadium is ready. And, you know, fortunately, the NFL supported that idea, and we played half of the season in Baton Rouge. You know, the bigger question was, you know, the future after that. And I have to say, you know, maybe because of where I grew up in Wisconsin, I had seen how strong of a connection a sports team could be with the community. I couldn't even imagine, you know, talk of the Saints not coming back here and not being part of the fabric of future of New Orleans. And again, fortunately, that position was supported by the NFL, and ultimately the Saints came back the next year and, you know, had a glorious year. And I think, you know, one of the greatest stories that doesn't get told very much is what happened between the announcement that the Saints were coming back to New Orleans in late 2005 and the beginning of the 2006 season. The community simply said, we are not ever going to lose this team, and we're going to support it. We're going to do everything we can to buy tickets and sponsorships, etc. And it was one of the, again, and this is a community that was down and out. People were rebuilding homes and businesses, but they would not let this team ever leave. And that's, again, such a great testament to who we are as New Orleanians.
I kind of believe, and you are on the inside, and I don't mean this as a criticism, because there was a lot of angst that was created as to whether or not the team was moving. I don't know if it was just a public relations debacle, misstep, or whatever, and the fact that the NFL actually stepped in. I believe the community was looking for something to be the rally cry, because we had those in D.C. inside the Beltway that were wondering why we're even trying to rebuild the city at this point in time. You know, maybe we should just chop off the bottom half of Louisiana and call it a day because of where we're located and the like, and not really taking the time to understand the importance of the Mississippi River, the port that's here, and the the impact that it would have on the national economy, just kind of, you know, speaking off the cuff, that we were looking for a rally cry to rally around that was going to send a message and reverberate that message across this country. And I think it ended up being the Saints. In fact, I really believe they may have been one of the luckiest organizations in the aftermath of Katrina, because there was a lot of friction and consternation about how the rebuild was going to take place here. But when it came to reestablishing the Dome and the Saints, there was very little argument or friction. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, there had been so many years of back and forth between the Saints and the state about new stadiums and incentives, et cetera, that I think that this was, you know, a unified decision among, you know, all levels of government, you know, and the NFL, that when the Superdome leadership said that the Superdome could be rebuilt in time for 2006, I think everybody rallied around that. Yeah. And, you know, there was so much ignorance going on around the country. Noel, you know, and I know, I mean, people that had never even stepped foot in New Orleans saying, you know, we should never rebuild this community. It's not safe. You know, we're throwing money away, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think that the Saints were indeed the rallying cry. First of all, there should never have been talk of the Saints leaving New Orleans, Louisiana. I mean, never, ever should that discussion ever occur, and certainly not in the weeks after Katrina. But when the decision was made to collectively to that they're returning, again, I mean, we were so proud of this. And, you know, everybody talks about the Steve Gleason block punt, which is true. It's one of the great, it's not only one of the greatest moments of sports, it's one of the greatest moments, I think, in U.S. history, because it was like a collective breath of fresh air that New Orleans is going to come back. And I was on the city council. I'd just been elected a few months earlier, and I could tell you the sense of pride that we all had in our city, and that we what we had done even to get to that point and what the future could hold for us, it was just so positive. And again, I would like to believe that some of that positivity is still here, and I'm hopeful after these upcoming elections that we are going to get back to some of that feeling and really get this city moving in the direction we all want.
You know, it's interesting. I really believe that that moment, it was a collective sigh of relief that we were finally getting a break, right? That something was breaking our way. Because when you think back over that year of August of 2005 to the following September of 2005 when that game occurred, we weren't getting a lot of breaks, right? I mean, it was,
no.
You know, kids all over the United States, some schools coming on earlier than others, you know, families would, you know, and their best friends were able to move back, others not because of the schools that they were going to. I mean, it was a lot of separation on a lot of different levels, just separate and apart from you know, the family, the familial unit, so to speak. And the sense that I had is that we weren't getting any breaks. I mean, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, we were dealing with a lot of friction, you know, people doing things to their homes and trying to get it back up and running, neighbors fighting neighbors. I mean, there was a lot of friction out there. And that's why, and I don't mean it as a criticism, I think the Saints turned out to be one of the largest beneficiary organizations of looking for a rally cry, of looking for a break that was finally going to break our way, the announcement that they were going to stay, and then that game, and then that block, right, and that song. It seemed as though there was a series of breaks that were really breaking our way once and for all on a national stage, I think, which made it even all the more so important and a strong emotional feel. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree. Again, there had been so much negativity, and You know, look, people were down and out. I will never forget going to Charlotte the first week of the season. There were thousands of New Orleanians that were there in North Carolina, and we hugged and we cried, and it felt so good to just be with our fellow citizens. And, you know, those are moments. The following, we went to New York, and the same thing happened. So, again, it was a special time, and I just want to say, Newell, it was the honor of my life to be elected to the city council twice. I had many fun jobs and great jobs in sports, but nothing ever will compare with the gratitude I have to the people of New Orleans for giving me a chance to serve them. And, you know, as I look at my life, again, Katrina was very difficult, but as one door closed with the Saints, another door opened in public service. And just like you and your great career in public service, to be able to help people get back on their feet and rebuild their lives is something that I'm very proud of and something that I will never forget for the rest of my life.
Absolutely not. I know exactly what you're feeling. Arnie Philko, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate the conversation, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. You as well, Newell. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Stay with us, folks. Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at G&O Inc. We'll talk about the NOLA Connect series, and Glade Bilby joins us in the back half of the hour. We'll talk about the groundbreaking for the Municipal Auditorium.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.